Locks in the Box, Volume 1, Episode 8.
Enough. Now, suggest. Keep the price high. Do you hear me?
Consider it done, Yusuf. Give me a call. We talk. New boss.
There were things I didn't know about.
Like what?
How far a man can go to preserve his dignity.
Do you have the contact of that new client looking for Tusk?
I got you, boss man. Kadi, his female bodyguard is my second cousin.
Good. Make sure Sajes doesn't get back home in one piece. Actually, I'll do it myself.
Those hips, girl.
You hear a key opening the door of the office.
I have a surprise for you.
Wait. That's why we're here. Oh, girl, you're bad. I love a really bad girl.
Sajes kisses her neck, her earlobe, then when targets in her lips. She gently stops him by softly pushing her index finger on his lips.
See, now that's why you are my number one bodyguard. Did you see how they were all mesmerized by those hips while I was leading the meeting earlier? Hold on, where's the light in here?
Sajes searches for the switch to turn on the light, but he's distracted by Kadi sensually taking her shoes off. She pushes him towards the desk. They both slowly march towards the desk, him backwards, her forward.
Yes, I saw it, boss man. I have connection. No one will ever know we're here. Promise me, when we get home, I take care of business. I'll be your number two.
You're my number one bodyguard.
I don't want to be number one bodyguard for the rest of my life. I want to be number two in business.
They still walk slowly towards the desk. Kadi forward, Sajes backward while talking.
Number two? Like my associate. Ambitious, huh?
She tensely looks at him, waiting for an answer.
Okay, all right. My new associate.
He attempts to kiss her again. She gently avoids. They both reach the desk now. Sajes's hand touches the black sheet.
Hola, what is this?
Kadi slowly lifts the sheet halfway. We see Juliao's body. His head looks like the head of a corpse, covered with some kind of white makeup powder.
Surprise.
Juliao? Is he dead?
Sajes is about to check by taking his machete out, when Kadi forcefully turns Sajes' shoulder around in order for him to face her. They now face each other.
I did it for you, partner.
She launches a forceful kiss into his lips. They both kiss and share a tender moment when behind him, Juliao's shadow slowly rises up. Kadi opens her eyes, sees him, then takes a step back away from Sajes. The kiss is interrupted. Sajes, still in the tender moment, finally opens his eyes when a hand abruptly covers his mouth from behind, and his flank receives sudden and psychotic hits, blows of the knife. At first, Sajes's eyes question Kadi's stationary body language. When he realizes the betrayal, it is too late for anyone to stop the amount of blood already lost. Sajes tries to take the hands off his mouth with his words muffled, but in vain. The last words he's hearing are the ones coming from Juliao.
You wolf! Disrespect! Your elders! Any more? Rude boy!
Juliao plants one last blow on Sajes's chest, already bloodied. Sajes falls on his knees before Kadi. He looks powerless at his wound, then falls forward on the floor, lifeless. Sajes bathes in his blood. Juliao approaches Kadi, looking at her as a lion watches his next prey.
He had great taste in woman, but he was selfish. greedy, rude motherfucker of a businessman. His territory is now yours. Never forget it. You manage it. We share the gains. Understood?
Oleo points the knife on Nagadi's chin, who slowly moves her chin up to avoid any cuts. Oleo, with his bloody hand, puts his knife away.
I'll send Western Union tomorrow night. Send me some tusk. Now clean this place up and get the fuck out of here.
Oleo leaves. He opens the office door. We hear the loud Afrobeat music from the hallway. He closes the door. We hear the muffled Afrobeat music. We see Kadi breathing hard at first. Then she wears a proud smile on her face. Kadi didn't do a good job at cleaning. As I went into the office to check what Julia was doing,
Yusef noticed the door slightly opened. He instantly adopted his hunter walk and approached the door with his hands on a knife. He opened it, then saw blood stain all over the floor, as if someone carried the bleeding body out of the room. Yusef went toward the desk and saw more blood stains on the desk and on the chair.
Crabs in a barrel. It's war, then.
His phone buzzed. He looked at it, read the phone number with the name Juliao, and a text. Let's meet soon.
Lots of blood been poured. Any new clues about how to find the locks? The piece of the tusk?
It's coming. Remember clues number two?
Patience. Yes, I remember.
My brother reluctantly kept coming after us, after me. The day before the hunter's meeting, he paid me a visit. I was packing a suitcase. I checked the window, then hid my suitcase.
How are you doing? Okay. Have you heard of an American tourist who disappeared while hunting? He was black.
He's talking about Tony, is he not?
I know it's the wild. A mosquito bites, then they think it's the end of the world. Hey, I'm serious now. They are sending some kind of investigator. The State Department of the embassy noticed that this guy never returned their phone calls. If you have any information, let me know, please. I'm still your brother. I can help you if you have anything to do with this matter.
What were you thinking? Why didn't you say something? He can help you. He's right. He's your brother and a ranger.
What is it? Anything? Nothing. All right then. You took after Baba, your father. Even though you never fulfilled that dream of yours, African curator, I commend you for it. I am proud of you. But now, I think you should try to pursue it. A war will be soon launched on poachers. All these tusks will be burned to the ground. They said we're killing elephants, damaging the wildlife. The international community and the government has reason to believe they will come down hard on countries that keep the poaching industry running. Just warning you, little brother. That dead American is bad news for business, especially for you.
Our father.
What?
Our father was proud of me. Our mother too. They have no idea what you would become.
You still think I have something to do with his death? I do not. Besides, he wasn't a saint. His wife's dying, and he was having a good time, night in and night out.
his wife, our mother. If a man can kill his own father, who else will he spare?
That is not fair. I was a child. I didn't know what I was doing.
You damn right. You didn't know what you were doing. You still don't.
I was just trying to find my way to become a ranger. So I gave Baba's map and the piece. Great transaction, isn't it? Am I not the man I dreamed of becoming? And what you said about Dad and Mom. You just want me to feel guilty. That's not fair at all.
Like using clients to fish for our stash. Is that also fair?
It is my job. That's a government direct order. Look, brother, I am dating Kataleya now. You remember Kataleya, the tourism minister's oldest daughter. She'd like to meet my family, or what's left of it. We have a party this weekend at the Baobab. No, it is still our bar. So if you want to take a break from chasing locks, come by. Please.
So, a ranger got the piece now. Your brother doesn't have it anymore.
That ranger got old and passed away many years ago. Who do you think took his spot? And where do you think the piece is?
Your brother?
May I continue?
Sure.
Ooh, that's my jam! Did you talk to him?
He's not coming! Is that what you're thinking about all day?
Time is of the essence. You want a promotion, don't you? Promotion means money to arrange for our wedding, eh? If you have no family, it looks weird, so you either quickly take care of Kwame or else. I'm serious. I don't want you to say goodbye to this unbelievable behind, eh? So the clock is ticking, my love. What do you say, future Mr. Tourism Deputy Minister?
Hold on a sec. What did happen in here?
Well, let's talk about Sharp Thief, how he became this successful businessman.
Okay. How did he get his nickname?
My father was a hunter. My grandfather was a hunter. You guessed it. They wanted me to be a hunter. But there is no money in hunting. The kind of money that will make people respect you, fear you. However, there is a ton of money in selling. Boom! Means tree in Dutch and slang means snake in Afrikaans. My brothers and sisters, we rarely keep wild animals as pets. It's against our beliefs. No one should mess with nature, simple as that. They know better to stay in their lanes. Meanwhile, white people usually do keep wild animals as pets because they are curious and emotionally attached to it. I guess it's cute. It's hello. Take for instance this abandoned house from my neighborhood. This patio, that tank, resting on bricks, had probably two or three reptiles in it. The other tank, placed on the old wooden chair, also with a few dead mice in it. Yep, you guessed it, another reptile. Sporadic uprisings on our lands have made people leave their house, abandon their homes, their belongings, and specifically their pets. We had a lot of uprisings, presidential elections, local elections, mayors, and so forth. Politics in Africa mostly scares white people, especially when they cannot control it.
So they leave. Then a few years later, they come back. And if there is more turmoil, they leave again, abandoning lots of pets, wild ones, snakes among others. That is how I collected my babies. People have adopted a lot of snakes, pythons, vipers, cobras, and etc. And among them were boom slang. They had no idea what they truly are. You see, boom slang is a very timid species. It mainly strikes when it is cornered or when it feels like its life is in danger. It is able to open its jaws up to 170 degrees. 170! That's a very wide open mouth. After a bite, though, its venom is slow acting. For a while now, the prey thinks it's safe and keeps going on its journey. So it usually takes many hours, confusing the prey to see the deadly effect of its bites. Oh, yes. It is fatal, nothing to less, and you guessed it. Its long fangs are beautifully located under its big round eyes. Love those things. That is when I realized that I could make big profits selling to hunters, African and foreigners, the most efficient silent killer.
Well, when you see him, you can ask how he got his nickname.
We're still figuring out how to find the locks, right?
Why do I sense that you have not been truthful since the beginning of this conversation?
I'll still wire you the $3,000.
$9,000.
I still haven't seen a piece. And you jack the price.
And you will, in time.
Time? I do not have a lot, right now.
Me neither. And I need... Okay. All right. Let me...
I met Yusuf. Are you still there?
I'm not a snitch either. However, I also have a tape recorder, so wait a second. Go on.
I just told you. I knew Yusuf.
You killed him.
Well, if it's any consolation, he was plotting against you to leave you and start his own business.
Another lie. When will this end? I'm through with you, lady.
Yes, I did. I killed him because I was after you, because he was of no use anymore, because he wasn't the man in charge, because... Tony is... What's my dad? An eye for an eye.
An eye for an eye? I killed the father and you plan to clean generations. We give you access to our lands, our resources, basically for free, to establish and to grow your business, your safari business. And you're taking over the entire continent? An eye for an eye? Really?
If I may, Africa has been a source of wealth for centuries for Europeans now. It's our turn to...
Have you heard of the saying, give a man a fish, you will feed him for a day? Teach a man how to fish.
Yeah. I'm trying to run a business here. And this locks, these tusks, are the answers. Can you imagine the values of these supernatural things? Of course, you'll be compensated for your effort. But people will study them and maybe exploit them, however, for the greater good of humankind.
Compensated with what? Alcohol? Mirrors? Shiny objects? Humankind. For your pocket, you meant. Humankind, what a joke.
What are you saying then? The deal's off? Beggars can be choosers. Yusuf was plotting against you, against your small hunter organization, with, what is his name again? Oh yeah, Sages.
Sages?
Yes, Sages. And his plan was to take each and every single hunter out. It's your turn now to listen. Rage got the best of us. I'm truly sorry. But I have no idea. But I think this species, these tusks are the answer for all these troubles. We have to find them. Anyway, for the record, my father was no angel either.
For the record, Tony was black.
He adopted me since him and his wife couldn't get a child. And so Yusuf, in a way, reminded me of how vulnerable and naive my father was. Such a beautiful soul, but not cut for this business. I booked a safari program specifically in the region where I heard last from Tony, and Yusuf was my guide.
You have been listening to Locks in the Box Volume 1, a Patrick Cabberty Presents production. Locks in the Box has been created, written, and produced by Patrick and Wendy Cabberty. Recorded at Soundbox LA, West Hollywood, California. Executive producer, Wendy Cabberty. Original sounds by Pixabay and Upbeat.io. Edited by Miguel Sol at Soundbox LA. Casting by Patrick Cabberty. Directed by Patrick Cabberty. Starring Kirk Taylor as the priest, J. Teddy Garces as young Baba, and Tony, Jonima Diaby as Harris, Francis Edemobi as Yusuf, Shalimar Garba as Mother, Fatima, young woman, and Katalia, Emma Garba as young Kwame, Omri Cabberty as young Harris, Mel Uche as Sharpteeth and Juliao, AJ Lubskin as Sages, Charlotte Chang as Zhao, Patrick Cabberty as Kwame, and narrated by Patrick Cabberty.
Credits read by Sydney and Omri Cabberty. Special thanks to Tim, Michelle, and Miguel at Soundbox LA, West Hollywood, California. Box in the Box is a Patrick Cabberty Presents production. For a full cast list, go to patrickcabbertypresents.com and listen to the next episode. Follow us on social media. Thank you for supporting Patrick Cabberty Presents production, and thank you for listening to